Good morning here. Welcome to the Retire While You Work podcast. I'm Miles Zuger, wealth advisor here at Adams Wealth Partners. And I also have Jerrianne Agee, director of operations with me, and Carson Odom, another wealth advisor here at Adams Wealth Partners. Going to be talking a little bit today about 401ks. It's a question I think, you know, when clients are maybe changing jobs or if it's a younger client and starting up their first job, one of the big questions we get is, should we or should I contribute to my 401k? I know we all have our thoughts on here, but I think we just kind of wanted to get started for maybe those who aren't as familiar with what exactly is a 401k. So Carson, going to toss it over to you to discuss just the basics of a 401k, maybe where they're offered, who's eligible for them, et cetera.
Yeah. A 401k is different from maybe if you have a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA that maybe you've set up in the past. A 401k is what's called an employer sponsored plan. So it's something that your employer has to set up, or if you own a business, you can set up a 401k for your employees and for your business. So that's what makes it different. Anyone can't go and open up a 401k. You've got to be offered a 401k from your employer. So it's a way for, we talk about bucket three money, that's retirement money, money that you can't touch until you're 59 and a half. A 401k is a great way, if you're eligible for it, if your employer offers it, it's a great way to defer some of your paycheck and save it for retirement. And again, only if your employer offers it. But a lot of times, larger companies almost always have a 401k. There's a couple different types of employer plans. They might have a simple IRA, which is a lot less common, or a 403b. That is a an employer sponsored plan, but for nonprofit institutions. So you might have a 403b or 401k, and almost all the benefits of a 401k are similar to a 403b. So if you hear us talking about a 401k, know that if you have a 403b, it's going to be pretty similar to this conversation. So
yeah, I think a lot of people sometimes get confused between 403b, 401k, but like Carson said, for the most part, they are identical. And
what do teachers have? They have something else, or is it a 403b? They don't have a 401k.
Yep. Sometimes there's multiple plans offered by the state, and government plans are also different depending on if you're military or a government employee. Those plans are different. However, usually have extremely similar benefits as
yeah.
For,
yeah. The other thing I was going to say about that real quick.
Go ahead, Jerry.
One thing companies don't do well, I think, in my experience and with my kids having jobs and figuring out all their benefits that these companies offer, and one of them's a 401k, and they're going through everything, their health, 401k, everything that they're offered, and no one's saying, hey, do this, this is really important, you should put at least this amount in, you know, no one's telling them that, and half the time they don't know what it is and they're just bypassing it altogether.
Yeah, I feel like it can be a little overwhelming. They, like, the HR person just says, here's your benefits, and like gives them a packet full of stuff, and it's up to them to decide to sign up or not sign up for what they want. I do think there's some legislation that's come out now to where previously I think you had to opt in to the 401k. I think the way it's leaning now is with the government, based on the size of a company, I think they're actually requiring that you're automatically opted in. So
that you can still help. Opt out, but you're just auto enrolled basically.
Yeah, that's great. That's
so that'll help maybe. Yeah, maybe for those people who just were unsure and just didn't do any, took no action. Well, then they weren't enrolled, and then time goes by, their income goes up, they should have been saving and maybe they weren't. This is going to kind of do the reverse, to where it's going to automatically make you start saving, and then it's on you to opt out, like Carson said,
out.
Or
gotcha.
Make any changes you want. So I think that'll be generally good, just to get, you know, people who maybe just didn't know what was going on saving, even if they don't really realize that they're saving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a government retirement savings plan, thrift savings plan, or TSP. That's what it's called. I couldn't remember the name of it. So going on that line, you know, not everybody who's, you know, your employer might come to you and say, okay, here's your 401k. Feel free to use it, yada, yada, yada. And they may stop there. So a lot of times you don't necessarily know the full benefit of, well, why should I contribute to a 401k? So we'll go through a few different benefits and how it'll work. So what happens with the 401k, it's basically a type of account where you can put money into it and get a tax deduction. You don't have to pay taxes on the money that you put into a 401k, but Now it's locked up in an account until you're 59 and a half. Otherwise, you have to pay taxes and penalties if you pull it out. So the way to contribute to a 401k is through a payroll deduction. So in other words, when your employer pays you, you know, if your gross paycheck's $1,000, you get, you know, $100 withheld for taxes. Now you're at 900. If you're contributing 5%, so $50, they've got to withhold $50 out of that paycheck and they put it into the 401k for you. It's called a payroll deduction. So you've got to say, hey, I want to put in 5% to my 401k. They'll take it out of your paycheck. They'll put it into your 401k account. And that's how you put money into a 401k. There's a couple different from a tax perspective, most everybody often uses pre-tax 401k contributions, which means it's put in before taxes. So you're not taxed on that income. You can also do Roth 401k contributions if your plan allows it. A lot of plans are allowing it these days, which means you pay taxes as it goes in. So yeah, that $50 that you put in my previous example, you still pay taxes on that. But the benefit of that on the long end is you pull the money out when you're 60, 70 years old, you've already paid taxes on it. No matter how much that has grown into, it's completely tax-free. Kind of like a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA, 401k pre-tax and 401k Roth contribution. So that's
I was gonna add there too, with the Roth 401k, you know, compared to like a Roth IRA, there's income limits on that. If you make, you know, over a certain amount individually or as a married couple, you know, you're phased out of being able to contribute to a Roth IRA, but with the Roth 401k, those limits are not there. So even if you're considered a high income earner, you're able to contribute into the Roth 401k the Roth 401k or the individual more traditional 401k that you get the tax deduction benefits with. That's a conversation you should have with your advisor and your team on what makes the most sense for you and your individual plan.
Another thing that, companies don't really fully explain to people when they're signing up for their 401ks is the match and how companies will usually match a certain percent that you put in. And so, I mean, one thing that we always say is at least get the match, at least put in, if they're giving you a match of 3%, at least put in 3% so you can get that, because that's basically free money.
Yeah. Depending on the plan, it is sometimes confusing language, but it can be non-elective or elective match. So for example, your employer might have a 3% or a 4% match. If it is a non-elective match, that means you don't even have to put a single dollar into the 401k and your employer is still going to put 4% of your income into the 401k for you. A lot of times there's what's called safe harbor 401k plans. And in order for the employer to get out of some compliance testing and some specific requirements, they can just automatically give all their employees 4% no matter what. And it's 100% vested on the employee side, or there might be an elective match. What that means is your company might offer 3% of your paycheck to go into your 401k, but you also have to be putting in 3% in order to get that employer match. And if that is the case, like Jerianne, you were talking about, you've got to absolutely take advantage of that. We talk about, stop talking to someone about it. That is $1 in, your employer gives you $50. It's literally doubled just by contributing. And that's without any investments going on. It's just taking advantage of kind of free money that your employer is offering.
Is one of them more common? Do you feel like you see more often the safe harbor match where it's automatic, or the style more where you have to put money in to get the match?
I feel like smaller plans.
I think it's you have to put money in to get the match, but I do know bigger companies sometimes do the safe harbor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. The other thing about just real quick on 401ks, and it's younger people really don't fully understand how important it is, and they look at it like they don't even care at this point. It's so far away to them. They literally are like, I'd rather have the money every month than save for, you know, however many years down the road. And with my daughters particularly, I've tried to let, when they both started working, instill in them how important it is just to put in just a little bit, and it grows. It has so many years to grow. So that's a big thing for young people. They just don't care at this point, and they don't get it. And so the more they can figure this out, the better.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about compounding interest. I think a lot of times people just don't realize how a small amount just put in automatically each month and compounded interest with it being invested can yield a pretty good result. I mean, I think about some, you know, younger clients that we have that started with Roth IRA, where they put $500 in and we're doing like $100 a month. And, at, you know, initially it's like a few $100 and now they're sitting here 5 or 6 years later and they have, you know, 20 grand that they've accumulated over that time just by being smart with it. And, mm-hmm. and it builds much quicker than I think people realize, even just doing small amounts.
And one thing, Carson, you touched on it. You can talk about it a little bit more, but once people start seeing that growth and then they all of a sudden think, whoa, I've got $50,000 or whatever. Can I use that? Like, you know, and they think, well, I've got $50,000. It's my money. Can't I just get it out and use it for something?
It absolutely is your money. However, like I touched on earlier, there are big penalties, 10% penalty if you pull money out before you're 59 and a half. Now, there are exceptions to the rule always, but generally the government wants you to view that money as long-term money. So you absolutely, if you have a 401k, you should absolutely view that as I'm going to do everything in my power to never have to touch it. Wait until I'm 59 and a half or even longer than that before I touch that money. Because you also want to do yourself a service. You also want to save for yourself. I want to make sure you're not tapping into money that's going to be, you're going to wish you had when you're sitting here 65 years old. And that's why there's penalties and taxes when you do pull it out, because it's from the government's perspective. They're trying to encourage you to let it be. Obviously, life happens. Sometimes we walk through a client's taking money out prior to 59 and a half, paying the taxes and penalty, because just like what I said, life happens. And sometimes you have to, but generally, always try to let that money sit and let it ride for the long term.
And I do know some companies have plans where you can borrow against and then you pay yourself back. But again, that's all about whatever the company's guidelines are on the 401k. But yeah, you need to just kind of set it and forget it.
Yep. Yeah. Because even with some of the exceptions to being able to take money out of there, all that avoids is the 10% penalty. That money is still taxable.
Yeah.
So like one of the biggest ones that I think we see younger people utilize is if you're a first time home buyer, you can use up to $10,000 from a qualified plan. And so, yes, you avoid the 10% penalty, but on that money that you're pulling out, you're still paying tax on it. So let's just say you pull out the full 10 grand and you're in the 20% tax bracket. That's still going to cost you $2,000 in taxes to get access to that money. So it's not like you just get that back tax free, but you also got the tax deduction when you put the money in. So it's evens itself out over time. But again, like Carson DiRambo said, this is longer term money you need to be thinking about if you're funding a plan like this.
And when you do hit that point in time when you need to use this money, you're most likely going to be in a much lower tax bracket. So when you do pull that money out, you're not going to pay the normal amount of taxes that you would when you're fully employed and working.
Yeah, that's the idea. And that takes some tax planning to decide if you should do Roth 401k, pre-tax 401k to decide what's your tax bracket going to look like when you're 65, 70 years old. Obviously, you don't know. It takes some planning. One other thing, Miles, you touched on it earlier was the benefit of a 401k is, you know, traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, if you contribute to them on your own, you're capped out at $7,000 a year. And there's a bunch of income limits and different stuff like that on how much you can put in. And if you're eligible to put them in 401k, you can put in, an employee can put in at least for 2024, $23,000 a year. And that is no matter how much money you make, you can put in $23,000 pre-tax or Roth. There is no age cap or there is no limit on how much can go in. And on top of that, once you hit 50 years or older, you can also do another 7,500. So if you're over 50, you're sitting here at $30,500 that you can put in a 401k without any sort of income cap. And that's without even including employer match. So it's a big sum of money that you can set aside for retirement.
And one thing we tell people is, yes, it's obvious it's going to money. That's money coming out of your paycheck that you're not going to have each month, but you get used to it if you've never had it. So anytime you get a raise, if you want to bump up your 401k by a percentage, you're not really going to notice that. That's a big help. Every year, I mean, eventually you'll be, if you're not maxing out, eventually you will be if you continue to do that.
Small steps. Yep. The best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And same with your 401k. Don't think you're going to come out having a $60,000 job and you're maxing out your 401k at $23,000. Maybe you are. That's great. But every raise, bump it up 1%. every year on January 1st, bump it up 1%. Before you know it, you could be in your 30s and you're maxing out your 401k easy. That's just a great habit to always pay yourself first and have a good practice in hand at increasing your contribution over time. This is, or an RMD. So essentially the IRS says, hey, you got a tax deduction for putting money in. We got to get our tax money eventually. So right now at age 73, the IRS says you have to start pulling money out of your IRA or 401k and paying taxes on it. And it's a calculated amount. It's based on your age and it's based on a table. So wherever your 401k or IRA is held, there will be a calculated amount. They'll tell you how much you need to pull out and pay taxes on that year. So that's only the thing to think about is on a pre-tax 401k or traditional IRA, you will eventually owe taxes. But it's better, generally in the world of taxes, it's better to accelerate deductions, delay income. And that's what's happening with the pre-tax 401k is you are accelerating the deduction. You're not getting to, or you're delaying the income. You're not paying taxes on that. You're waiting until a long time from now in order to pay taxes on that money. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And again, and your tax rate would be a lot lower then.
Potentially, depending on if you're still working or if you've got a lot of investments then. So that's where it comes in with planning. Should you do pre-tax or if you're in a lower tax bracket now, or should you do Roth if you're younger? Generally, our recommendation is to do Roth 401k if you're younger and just starting out, just because you're already in a low tax bracket and you've got 40, 50 years to let the money grow. Now, if you're in the top tax bracket now, not going to say always, but a lot of times it makes sense to do the pre-tax option because you're getting a 37% tax deduction by maxing out your 401k on a pre-tax level. So,
and I would just quickly add that that required minimum distribution age has moved a little bit over the last few years. So prior to 2018, it was age 70 and a half. That kind of got a little complicated based on your birthday. In or was that prior to 2020? I forget which one.
Yeah, it was but sometime then, around there. Yeah.
In 2020, I believe they moved it to age 72. For sure, age 72. And then it, with the Secure Act 2.0, they moved it to age 73, which is where it's at now. I think it's definitely simplified things. It's just the year in which you turn that age, whether it's in January or December, you have to take an RMD that year. And then in 2033, where things stand right now, it's going to move to age 75. But along the way, if you have had to start an RMD based on your age at any point in time, you're grandfathered into those older rules. So it's not like you can start and then stop it and then start back up later. So if you started it, you just have to be taking it indefinitely.
That's right. Let's see. I think that's all our notes on a 401k that we got.
Yeah. And I would just add too, I think, you know, the 401k hasn't been in existence for really all that long. I think it came about in the late 70s. It really has, you know, way back in the day, everybody had a pension. What the 401k has done is it has really put retirement savings and saving for the future on the employee. The employer is not really there to save you anymore if you didn't do a good job of saving along the way by paying you a pension when you do retire at 60 or 65. So if you're not saving into a 401k, an IRA, or other type of investment, I mean, nobody is really coming to save you and help you out. It's, yes, Social Security will be there at some point for you, but to supplement that with other money, there's no pension mostly that we see that's going to be helping you out. So it's important to start early and do everything you can to build that up along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Good advice.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And we'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Any opinions are those of myself and not necessarily those of Raymond James. Expressions of opinion are as of this date and are subject to change without notice. The information contained in these podcasts do not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but we do not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Every investor situation is unique, and you should consider your investment goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon before making any investment. Prior to making an investment decision, please consult with your financial advisor about your individual situation. Any hypothetical examples are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary. Raymond James does not provide legal or tax services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.